Live by every word. That is the challenge and the opportunity the Bible gives to you. This program examines the actual words that have proceeded out of the mouth of God Himself, so we can use them to guide our paths and live by them in our everyday lives. You need to learn how to truly live by every word. Here is your host, Brian Davis.
The last couple of programs, we have been looking at the incredible potential of man. And there is an incredible potential that we have, and God has created us for a purpose, an awesome, awesome purpose of being born into His very family, receiving immortality, receiving eternal life, the gift of eternal life. Now, over in Romans 6, in Romans 6 and verse 23, we find that the Apostle Paul wrote, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." We need the gift of eternal life, you see, because we are not immortal already. We don't already have eternal life. If we did, if we were immortal and eternal beings, why would we need the gift of eternal life? You see, you don't need the gift of eternal life if you already have eternal life, if you already are immortal. And notice it says here in verse 23, "For the wages of sin is death." A wage is something that you earn. You earn. And here God says, well, what you earn for committing sin is death, not eternal life, flouncing around in hell, flouncing around in some hot fire that goes on burning forever and ever, and you go on living eternally in that fire. The wages, the results, the earnings of sin is death. Death is the cessation of life. And the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. We need that gift. Now, that's a very clear verse in the Bible there in Romans 6 and verse 23. And yet, nearly every society today and nearly every society down through the ages of man has in some form or another believed that man is a spirit being, essentially, that he goes on living. He doesn't really die. They believe that man already is immortal. He already has eternal life, or at least he has a spiritual component that goes right on living after death. That's what the Muslims believe. That's what the Christians in the world today believe. And yet that's not what Romans 6 and verse 23 says. These societies, all through the different ages of man, all the way up to today, they believe, well, the real man is not the body, but some sort of an invisible, immaterial, immortal soul that thinks, that hears, and that sees, and will go on living consciously forever. But is that what your Bible says? Well, that's certainly not what Romans 6 and verse 23 says. Now, we need to ask these questions, we need to answer these questions, and we do need to believe the Bible. Because after all, as we've been covering, there is an incredible purpose as to why you have been born. There's an incredible potential that you have, and you want to fulfill that potential, don't you? I certainly do. So this is not something to play games with. It's not something just to reject because, well, it's not what we've heard before, or it's not what we've been taught before. Let's just look at the Bible and believe the Bible. That's not an easy thing to do sometimes, but we need to be honest with ourselves. Let's look back at Genesis chapter 2. We've been emphasizing Genesis 1 over the last few classes and looking at Genesis 1 and verse 26, where God said, "Let us make man in our image." In other words, let's reproduce ourselves as we've been explaining. And Genesis 1, verse 1, and Genesis 1, and verse 2, and what happened in between those two verses. Let's move on here and get into Genesis chapter 2 now and see what does God's word really say about man and what we are right now. Genesis 2 and verse 7, "And the eternal God formed man of the dust of the ground." That's where you came from. You and I both All of us have come out of the dust of the ground. We are made from the elements in the earth, and that's how our life is sustained. We have to feed ourselves with food and drink that comes from the earth, comes out of the earth. And notice, God formed man out of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. So we are sustained by eating and drinking what comes out of the earth, and that's because we're made from the earth, we're made from the dust of the ground, and our life is sustained by that, and also by breathing the air around the earth. And that air oxidizes the blood, and the life is in the blood thereof, Leviticus says. And then the oxidized air goes to the cells as the blood carries it throughout the body. And with that combination, man became a living soul. Now, people read that and they think, well, the word soul means this, that man is somehow this invisible, immaterial, immortal being that lives forever, and he or it already is eternal, and somehow that immaterial or that immortal soul thinks and hears and sees and goes on living consciously after the body dies. But is that what God's word actually says? We need to know. The word here for soul in the Hebrew, the actual word written by Moses, is nephesh, and that word simply means a living, breathing creature. Now, that doesn't imply immortality. It does not imply eternity or eternal life. It means what it says. It is a living, breathing creature. And as a matter of fact, let me just ask you this. Do you believe that birds and cows have immortal souls? And do you believe that they have this immortal, invisible, eternal being inside of them that goes on living after they die? Well, that same word, nephesh, is what is used to describe animal life as well. You see, that word that is translated here in the English Bible as soul, all it means is a living, breathing creature. So we do have to clear our minds from any sort of prejudice we may have, any sort of preconceived ideas that we may have. God says that man, not just the physical body, but man himself, made from the dust of the ground and kept alive by eating and drinking things that come from the dust of the ground and by the breath of life where we breathe in oxygen and the blood is oxidized and that carries life to the cells, and that's how we are sustained. And the man is a living soul. The man himself is a living soul, or a living nephesh, a living, breathing creature, just like the animals. Look at Genesis 2 and verse 16 then, just a few verses forward. Here is what God said about man's existence. And the eternal God commanded the man, saying, "Of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat of it." Now notice what God says. "For in the day that you eat thereof, you shall surely die." God does not say, in the day that you eat thereof, your body will die, but you will go on living and live for eternity, flouncing in hell. He doesn't say that. He says, you shall surely die. That's what God says. Now, I don't care what you've been told by other people. And look, if someone is deceived, they don't know what they don't know. And we just have to, again, have our minds swept clean of wrong thoughts, read these verses without prejudice, without preconceived ideas, and believe what God says. So God formed man out of the dust of the ground. He's a living, breathing creature. Man became a living soul, a living being. And God says, okay, if you make the wrong choices, you will surely die. You see, that's what Romans 6 and verse 23 says, the same thing that we're reading here in Genesis. The Apostle Paul wrote Romans 6 and verse 23. He understood what was in the book of Genesis, and he believed it, and he taught it. Now, a lot of people out there that claim to be teaching what's in the Bible do not teach the same thing that Moses taught here in Genesis 2, and they don't teach the same thing that the Apostle Paul taught in Romans 6. They don't teach that. And why not? Why don't they teach the truth? Why don't they teach that the wages of sin is death? Why do they teach the opposite of that and say that the wages of sin is eternal life burning forever in hell? Why do they teach that? Why do they say that you already are an immortal soul, that you already are eternal, when Paul clearly said that the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ? It's a gift. In 1 Corinthians 15, it says that we must put on immortality. You see, you have to put it on because you don't already have it. Where did these wrong teachings originate? Well, if we move forward here in the book of Genesis, just go to the next chapter, Genesis 3, verse 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the eternal God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, has God said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? Now here Satan himself approaches Eve, and she had been clearly taught, as Adam had been clearly taught, that she was a nephesh, she was a living, breathing creature that could die. And yet here comes Satan questioning that. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree, verse 3, which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. And the serpent said unto the woman, Satan said unto the woman, you shall not surely die. Well, well, where did this idea of man being immortal, man already having eternal life, where did that come from? In John 8 and verse 44, Jesus Christ said that Satan is a liar, he's a murderer, he's the father of lies. And here we find him directly contradicting God, telling a lie, the very opposite of what God said. God said, you can die if you make the wrong choices. You will surely die, God said. And Satan came along and said just the opposite and said, you shall not surely die.
You're listening to Live by Every Word with your host, Brian Davis, on 101.3 KPCG online. Our live stream is at kpcg.fm. We'll be back to the program in just a moment. A great book that you need to request to help you understand the topic of today's program better is Mystery of the Ages. This book, written by Herbert W. Armstrong, is available to you free of charge. You can request it at thetrumpet.com. Go to thetrumpet.com, go to the Literature tab, and look for Mystery of the Ages. You can download it, you can read it right there at the website, or you can have the physical book sent to your house. It's a big book. There's a lot of information in there. 7 incredible chapters. Make sure you get this book. It's free, and it goes in depth into the topics being discussed today and a lot of other subjects as well. Make sure you request Mystery of the Ages. It's free. Get your copy at thetrumpet.com.
This is Live by Every Word. Here is your host, Brian Davis.
Hello again, everyone. We're back, and I do just want to emphasize what we're reading here and what we're learning is coming straight out of the Bible. I'm just reading to you the words that are recorded in God's Word, but you can learn about all of this and more with the book Mystery of the Ages that was just offered to you during the break, and I do want to encourage everyone to order that book. It's just fantastic. It's fabulous. And it will walk you through what the Bible actually does say. And you can prove it for yourself. We're not talking about just believing what any man says or believing what any book says. We're talking about believing the Bible. Believe what God's Word says. Prove it for yourself and see what is actually in God's Word. continuing on here with the story flow, we left off there in Genesis 3 and verse 4, where Satan just said the exact opposite of what God said. God clearly said that man can and will die if he makes wrong choices and lives the wrong way of life. And then Satan comes along in Genesis 3 and says, oh no, you will not surely die. You won't surely die. You already are immortal. You already have eternal life. You will not surely die. And that is the origination of this idea that permeates all religions and all of man's societies from the beginning of time all the way up until today. People are still promoting that idea that came from Satan, that man will not die, that he is somehow this immortal being that will go on living, seeing, and thinking after death. Now, continuing on here, Genesis 3, in verse 19, here's God talking again, and he says, in the sweat of your face shall you eat bread till you return unto the ground, for out of it were you taken, for dust you are, and unto dust shall you return. Now notice what God does not say. He does not say, your body was taken out of the dust, and so your body will go back and return unto the dust. He says, look, you will return unto the ground, for out of the ground were you taken, not just your body, you. You were taken out of the ground. You were made out of the ground, and you will return unto the ground, for dust you are, and unto dust shall you return. Here again, the whole man, not merely the body, is composed of dust, and it is the air around us that breathes life into this physical man. We have to breathe that air, and that air, we breathe in oxygen. It oxidizes the blood, and of course, life is sustained that way and with the food and the water and the things that come out of the ground to sustain us that way also. Genesis 7. Now again, we're just looking at what God's Word has to say, just strictly reading what God's Word says. Verse 21 of Genesis 7, and all flesh died that moved upon the earth. Now, this is during the time period of the flood, and when that water covered the earth, well, they weren't able to breathe. And so what happened? What happened to the napheshes on the earth? The napheshes, whether it was a cow or whether it was a dog or a lion or a man, they're all napheshes. They're all living, breathing creatures, as Genesis 2 and verse 7 points out. That's what man is, and that's what God calls these other creatures that he created on the earth as well. You can do your own study and see that that is the word that's used for man and for animals. Verse 21 again, and all flesh died that moved upon the earth, both of the fowl and of the cattle and of the beast, and of every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth, and every man, all in whose nostrils was the breath of life, of all that was in the dry land, died. Now here we see that the source of life for animals, for birds, for man, all of it comes from the same breath. So when that water just kept filling up the earth and covering the earth and getting deeper and deeper and deeper, eventually the animals couldn't breathe. They didn't have the breath of life. Same thing with man. All in whose nostrils was the breath of life of all that was in the dry land died. Now let's look at Psalm 104. So again, let's try not to have any prejudice here against what God's Word says. You may have been taught just the opposite of what you're hearing today, but open your mind to what God's Word actually says and study it and prove it for yourself, and then just believe God. Believe God, not man, not me or any other man, but just believe God. Psalm 104 and verse 29. You hide your face and they are troubled. You take away their breath and they die and return to their dust. Here again, another just very simple statement. This is what happens when flesh is deprived of breath, just like we read there in Genesis 7. When flesh is deprived of breath, whether animal or man, they're both just a living, breathing creature. They're both a nephesh. Of course, man has an incredible potential, an awesome potential and purpose as to why God created us, as we've talked about the last two or three programs. But as far as just the physical sustenance, the physical life, well, it's the same as animal life. It's a nephesh. And this is what happens when you deprive flesh, a nephesh, a living, breathing creature, from breath. They die. They die. And they return to their dust. Think about just how temporary our lives are. Just how temporary life is. Someone can be walking around, moving, thinking, talking. They can have hopes and aspirations and dreams. They can have anxieties. They can have worries and troubles. They can have excitement. And if their breath is taken away, what's left there? Oh, how temporary our lives are. The wages of sin is death. You take away the breath of life and they die and return to their dust, just like God's word says. We need immortality. We need the gift of eternal life, the gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ, as Romans 6 and verse 23 says. Psalm 146. Now, some people will say, well, sure, I believe what he's saying there on the radio. I believe that, but it's the body that returns to the dust and the soul goes on living. Well, we've already seen what the word soul means. And again, you can look that up further if you want, and you'll see that it's exactly what we've stated here. Nephesh is not an eternal living soul. But people will say that the body dies, but the essence of the man or the soul of the man goes on living. And you've heard people talk about when their parents have died. I've heard football players talk about, well, my dad died this week, but there he was at the football game guiding the passes into the hands of the wide receivers. And they'd say, oh, well, you know, my dad was up there and he was guiding those balls for me. That's why I could throw the ball so well. And well, what about the dead fathers of the defenders? Why weren't they up there knocking those balls down? You see, it doesn't make any sense, and it's not true. It's not true. And let's just prove that again from the Bible. Psalm 146 and verse 4 says, his breath goes forth, he returns to his earth, and in that very day his thoughts perish. Now, what can these people who promote that, well, it's just the body that dies, but the man goes on living. His thoughts are still there. He goes on living and guiding footballs or doing whatever else. I'm sure, been to funerals where you've heard preachers talk about, well, there's just that old body down there in the casket, and yet so-and-so, whoever it was that died, is up in heaven floating around looking down on us right now. Well, does that square with what the Bible says? Now, here is what returns to earth when the breath leaves. The man is what returns, not just an outer physical shell, the man. His breath goes forth. He loses his breath, you see. The breath is taken away, as we read in Psalm 104, and they die. And here it adds even another puzzle piece to give you a clear picture. When that breath goes forth, or when that breath is taken away, the man returns to the earth, and in that very day his thoughts perish. See, the man is not still thinking. The man is not still floating around somewhere looking down on you and seeing whether or not you came to his funeral. And he's also not out there playing football somewhere, helping his son throw passes to other people. Even his thoughts perish, this says, on the very day that the breath is gone. Even his thoughts perish. You see, man doesn't continue to exist in an immortal soul somewhere that goes right on living. You know, I travel a lot and speak in a lot of different places, and one city that I go to is Houston, and I haven't been there in a year or so, but But when I do go there, I normally stay at a hotel off of Katy Freeway. Katy is a suburb of Houston, over on the west side. And the interstate that runs by there is Katy Freeway, and there's a church there that has this huge billboard out front, and it's flashing. The soul of man never dies. It just flashes that over and over and over. The soul of man never dies. Now, is that true? Does that statement flashing outside of that church, does that square with these scriptures that we have just read? And I drive by that place usually four or five times when I'm down there in Houston, and it just keeps flashing over and over and over. The soul of man never dies. Well, that's very different from what Psalm 104 says and Psalm 146. That's very different from what God said in Genesis 2. That's very different than what we're reading in all of these verses. But it is very similar to what Satan told Eve in the Garden of Eden when he told the lie, "You shall not surely die." Now, let's look at Ezekiel 18 real quick. Ezekiel 18. Just believe your Bible. Just read your Bible and believe it. Get it out. Read it for yourself. Don't just sit there and listen. Get out your Bible. Look it up yourself. Ezekiel 18. See if what you have been taught is true. See if what you've been taught is actually what the Bible says. Ezekiel 18 and verse 4. Now they're at that church, they're blasting the message on the outside on their big billboard, and it's electronic billboard flashing, "The soul of man never dies." God's word says, Ezekiel 18 and verse 4, "Behold, all souls are mine. As the soul of the Father, so also the soul of the Son is mine. And the soul that sins, it shall die." The exact opposite of the message being flashed outside of that church. That is the exact opposite. God's word says the soul that sins, it shall die. Now, this is so important. God had it repeated in the exact same chapter, Ezekiel 18. Verse 4 says it. Ezekiel 18 and verse 20 says again, "The soul that sins, it shall die." Ask yourself, why is that church? And why are all of these other churches and all of these religions, and why has every society of man since the beginning of time taught exactly the opposite of what your Bible says? We'll continue with this and answer that question in the next program. Until then, let's all strive to more perfectly live by every word.
You've been listening to Live by Every Word on The Voice 101.3 KPCG and on the web at kpcg.fm.